In worship service coming to you from Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. We do extend to each one this morning, wherever you're joining in with us from, we do extend to you that warm word of welcome. And it is our prayer that the Lord will richly bless you and encourage you as you're joining with us this morning. If I could just go through the announcements as briefly as possible, let me remind you of our gospel service this evening at 7 p.m. And as always, we do encourage God's people to be much in prayer even before the evening time service. And our topic this evening, as we continue through the book of Acts, is the conversion of Sergius Paulus. The conversion of Sergius Paulus. He is recorded there as the governor in Cyprus in Acts 13. And we'll be considering his conversion from his ways of sin even onto the way of the Lord this evening time at 7 p.m. Then Monday evening is our online children's meeting at 7:15, and it's on both our YouTube and our Facebook pages. And we do encourage and invite all of the children in this area, and indeed others alike, to join with us even for that online children's meeting at 7:15. Then Wednesday night is our weekly Bible study meeting at 8 p.m., and I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct and to speak at that service. And we do invite you to even set that time aside in a Wednesday evening and come with us even as we study God's word together and as we continue looking at the mountaintop experiences. There are a number of mountains which are mentioned to us in the New Testament. We've finished now the Old Testament mountaintops, and this week we commence into the New Testament mountaintops. And we do, as we say, invite you to join with us on Wednesday evening. This Friday, being the first Friday of the month, will be our presbytery meeting for the members of session. And again, it will be online on the Zoom platform. And when those details come through, we will forward them on to you. Then next Sunday, the services begin with a reminder to the children of our Sabbath school that there is FPC Kids conducting an online Sunday school every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And you'll find that on both their Facebook and their YouTube pages, FPC Kids, at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. Then our services here in Six Mile Cross at the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. And I'll be here in the will of the Lord to minister at both of those meetings. As we have been mentioning, we do remind you to continue to pray for Dr. Wilson, and also, as our brother Mr. Maxwell mentioned the other night, his wife. All of Maxwell do pray for her at this time as well. Both of these individuals will be going into hospital and will be receiving treatment even in the week to come. So do be praying for them, that the Lord will be near to them and that the Lord would bless them at this time. From our own congregation, we have been asking you to pray, and we ask you to continue to pray for William Gibson at this time. He has been raised slightly, and we're thankful even for that touch thus far, but do pray much for him, that the Lord would be gracious unto him. And do remember as well our sister Hazel Morrison. She is still in hospital at this time, and we are praying for her that the Lord would raise her up, it would touch her body, and even soon she'll be raised up to good health and be able to go home once again. Do remember her family as well in your prayers at this time. We're going to commence our worship this morning, and we're thankful for our sister Sarah Fleming being able to record this piece, and she's going to play to us just now. Thank you. I want to thank our sister Sarah for playing that piece for us. And certainly it's a blessing to be ever reminded of the great friend that we have in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We're going to unite our hearts in prayer at this stage. Let me encourage you once again to unite your heart with me as we seek the Lord's blessing and as we seek the Lord's help again this day. Let's pray. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we bow before thee, coming into thy most holy presence, confessing the name of Jesus Christ, as not only our friend, but indeed our Saviour and our only Redeemer. We thank thee, O God, this day for the reminder, every single first day of the week, that our Saviour, he is alive. Yes, he died for our sins, but we thank thee and praise thee that he rose for our justification. He defeated death and he defeated hell forever. And, O God, we thank thee for that victory in which we live today. We thank thee, O God, that we find ourselves in Christ. Each and every one that is saved, each and every one that is born again, we have that confidence of our assurance and that standing which we have in Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, for thy many mercies to us. We thank thee that thou art a great God, and a God that is full of grace and of mercy, a God who is faithful even unto his people, a God whose love is ever towards them. We thank thee for that love, that everlasting love with which thou dost love us. And we thank thee, O God, that thou hast loved us from all eternity past, and thou wilt love us for all eternity to come. O God, we do rejoice that the love of God is set upon us. And Lord, we thank thee and we praise thee that we are saved and we're washed in that precious blood. And Lord, we do thank thee once again for being with us throughout this last week. We thank thee, O God, for thy many blessings towards us, for keeping thy loving hand upon us, for watching us, and for keeping us safe even in our going outs and our coming ins. And Lord, we do thank thee once again for the opportunity, even on this day, to come aside and to worship thee. We thank thee, O God, for thy precious word. We thank thee that we can read thy word, we can study thy word, we can find that instruction, that encouragement, yea, even that rebuke when it is needed, O God, is found within thy word. It is a living word. We do rejoice that thy word is even right up to date. In these times in which we live, we can find that encouragement, that instruction, even how to conduct ourselves in these days. And O God, we just pray that thou wilt draw near to us this day. We pray that thou wilt bless our worship even of thy name again this morning. Even though we cannot join together in the building at this time, yet we thank thee. And we praise thee, O God, that we have the opportunity, even in our own homes, to worship and to praise thee. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast promised to be with thy people. Thou hast promised ever to have thy presence with us. And Lord, as thy presence is with us this day, we pray, O God, that that nearness will be felt by each and by every one. That thy word will come forth with freshness and with power. And Lord, even as our hearts are drawn out after thee, that we will know that encouragement and that teaching, and that, O God, growth even in our spiritual walk with thee this day. Lord, bless each and every one at this time. We do think of every family, and, O God, how we miss even joining with them together in this house, how we miss seeing them face to face at this time. But yet, O God, our hearts are with them. We pray for each one of them, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt do them good in these days. We think of those that are unwell. Lord, that thou wilt touch them at the very point of their need. We think of our sister Hazel. Lord, even there in the hospital, Lord, we ask thee that thou wilt touch her. We ask thee, O God, that thou wilt intervene in her circumstances. Lord, that thou wilt rule and overrule in accordance with thy will. Lord, that thou wilt raise her to full strength once again. Bless her husband and family as well. Thou knowest, O God, that separation due to the rules and visitation and all of those things at this time. Lord, may they know thy presence with them. May Hazel know thy presence with her in the hospital. And may Ivan and the family know thy loving arms around about them. Remember William as well. Lord, we pray for him and we pray for his physical and his spiritual needs. O Lord, that thou wilt touch him. We thank thee for the how thou hast been with him thus far. And even that raising even thus far in strength. And Lord, his ability even to be up out of the bed, and Lord, even able to be able to sit up in the room once again. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, for how thou hast undertaken. But Lord, we pray for his soul. We pray, O God, that thou wilt save him. We pray, O God, that thou wilt have mercy for him. Remember his family as well as they care for him. Bless them and help them, we pray. Remember others, O Lord, in our congregation that need thee. Lord, for the elderly, for the young alike. Lord, we think of those in nursing homes, our sister Mabel. We think of the Reverend Cairns as well. And Lord, others that, Lord, are no longer able to be out and about as they once were. Lord, bless them and do them good. Bless all of our families. Bless all of our individuals. Bless those, O God, that have been going through trials and hardships at this time. And Lord, for others as well connected with this church. Lord, we think of Nigel. Lord, that thou knowest even concerning his health, and we pray for him in these days. That thou, O God, will keep thy hand upon him, and thou, O God, wilt save him. Lord, that even through these hardships and these dark providences that come upon families, that men and women, boys and girls that are not saved, will be able, O God, even to have their eyes opened, and will realize the frailty of life. Will realize, O God, the finiteness of their beings. And Lord, that they will turn away from self, and they will put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, undertake, we pray thee, bless the going forth of thy word this day. Lord, whether it be from this pulpit or other pulpits, whether it be in the open air with the drive-in services, Lord, wherever the gospel is faithfully heralded forth, oh, that it will find that resting place in hearts, that souls this day will be saved, O God, that backsliders will be restored. Lord, undertake for us. Undertake for this denomination. Undertake, O God, for this land. O Father, send us revival. Lord, revive our congregations. Revive our pulpits. Revive, O God, each and every one of thy people. And Lord, awaken this land. O Father, we've seen and we've watched over the many weeks and months. And Lord, men and women are yet to turn to thee. Lord, in the midst of all of these hardships and all of these dark times and all of the worrying and the fear that there is amongst people, and yet men and women still will not turn to the Lord and to the Creator of heaven and of earth. O God, turn them, we pray. Lord, cause thy face to shine upon us. Revive us, O God, and revive our land. O God, hear our prayers. Glorify thy Son. We think of that motto text which we took at the beginning of this year. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. O God, show us thy glory this day, we pray. Show us thy glory in the days to come, right throughout this year, that God will be glorified, that Christ will be uplifted, that all men might be drawn unto him. O God, hear us this day. Hear our cries, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read our psalm for the week together, and I invite you to open your Bibles at Psalm number 90. The Psalm number 90. I want to read it all together this morning. The Psalm number 90. It is entitled A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. The Psalm number 90. And the opening verse beginning at the verse number 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. The work of our hands, establish thou it. Amen and amen. We're going to have now our brother, the Reverend William McRae, singing to us, and we're thankful once again for him recording this piece, and he's going to sing to us now.
My Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face, shall I behold Him? Far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.
Ministering song to us. We do certainly appreciate that message even to our hearts this morning. If you have your Bibles now, would you open them please in 1 Kings and the chapter 19. 1 Kings and the chapter 19. I want to return once again to studying the life of Elijah. If you were with us last week, you remember how we finished off looking at the fear of Elijah. And this Sunday we want to carry on from the verse number 5 And we'll read down to the end of verse 14. So 1 Kings chapter 19, and commencing our reading this morning at the verse number 5. The word of God says, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and he lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. He said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, and thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth, and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and a strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out, and stood in the entering in of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Amen. And we do trust and pray that the Lord will bless the reading of his infallible truth to every heart this morning. I want to consider just the opening part of what we read this morning under the heading, The Following After Elijah. The Following After Elijah. Let's just ask the Lord for his help and for his speaking voice even to us again this morning. Heavenly Father, we do come to thee, O God, with thanksgiving and with praise in our hearts for what thou hast done for us already. We thank thee, Lord, even for this opportunity to study thy word together and to hear it even being preached. Lord, we do pray that thou will take this simple vessel, Lord, that thou will touch my lips and touch my heart, and Lord, that thou wilt empty me of self and of sin and fill me with thy spirit. And O God, may I not simply be a man standing in a pulpit this day, but rather may I be the messenger of the Lord and the Lord's message even for the people. O God, speak to every heart. Lord, encourage thy people. Draw back the backslider and save the lost. In God's name we pray, and for the glory of King Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, when you consider Elijah's feelings in the aftermath of that great mountaintop victory, the fearless man who was gripped with fear, and that fear which led to a great depression and a great despair coming upon him, which in turn then led, as we've read and considered last week, to that dereliction of duty and that desertion of his post. We noted how upon receiving that threatening letter from Jezebel, he immediately ran. He had left his post, he left Jezreel, and he ran for a distance of around 100 miles before falling and collapsing below that juniper tree, completely exhausted. And for the first time since receiving that letter, we read that Elijah prays. But his prayer was not like that of previous prayers. It tells us in verse 4 that he requested for himself that he might die, and he said, "It is enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." His prayer is not like those prayers that we've heard him offering up on previous occasions. This occasion, he prays for death. He longs for it all to be over. What is interesting, out of all of Elijah's recorded prayers, and certainly when you do a simple oversight and an overview of all of Elijah's life, you have to come to the conclusion this was a man of prayer. This was a man who knew what it was to pray. This was a man who knew what it was to be earnestly pleading before the Lord, to be there in daily, continual intercession and communication with his God in heaven. And yet out of all of his prayers, God doesn't answer this one. He doesn't answer it at that point. And if you know the life of Elijah, you'll know that God never answers it. You know, when he prayed for the rain to stop, God stopped the rain. When he prayed for fire, God sent fire. When he prayed for the rains to return, he was fervent in that place of prayer. He prayed again and again, and God sent back the rains. But when he prayed for death, God said no. Elijah would never die. You know, it is a simple, but yet it is an important point to make. God will not always answer your prayers in the way that you so desire. God will not always answer your prayers in the way that you so desire, but he will always answer your prayers the best way. 1 John 5 and the verse 14, Apostle John, he says, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." No, the best way is always the way that is in accordance with the will of God. The will of God produces the way of God for us. And so when we ask anything and those prayers are in accordance with God's will, God not only hears, but he gives us those answers because they are in accordance with the will of God. Elijah, whenever we come to this passage, he's there and he's praying. He says, "Lord, I want to die." Elijah believed death was the best outcome. He believed that death was now the best possible scenario for him. But yet God, in his infinite wisdom, he didn't permit it. You know, as I said, God always answers prayer in accordance with his will. Sometimes it's hard for us to accept that. We want a certain answer in our way and in our time, and yet if it's not in accordance with God's perfect will, in accordance with his wisdom and his divine setting out of all it is to come to pass, then it upsets us and grieves us. And yet, as we'll go on to see, whenever God said no to Elijah, it was for the best. It was for the perfect outcome. But we'll see as well that not only did God not answer his prayer, but it's wonderful to note God did not simply give up upon his servant Elijah. Even though we go on to look at in chapter 19, we didn't read the verse this morning, but it will be mentioned that there were 7,000 others who had never bowed the knee. There were still 7,000 believers following after the one true God. And yet here was the Lord. Elijah had failed him. Elijah had ran. And yet God didn't simply give up on him and say, "Well, I've got 7,000 others. We'll just set Elijah to the side." He didn't simply say, "I've got 7,000 others. Elijah, you're now in the scrap heap. You're now a has-been." Rather, in his rich mercy and his grace, God went after him. Just like the lost sheep in the wilderness. That parable there in the New Testament, even though the shepherd had 99 other sheep, yet he still went out after the one. He didn't just count them in and say, well, I've got 99 out of 100, 99%. That's good enough. No, there's one missing. There's one that has wandered. The shepherd, he left behind the 99 in the fold, and he went for the one. As I said, God had 7,000 others in Israel. And yet the chief shepherd went out after that one lost sheep, Elijah, in the wilderness. Now, that's the reality of how God cares for his children. Even to this very day. Those that feel him. Those that, yea, even are overcome with fear. Those that desert their post, their dereliction of duty, even in what the Lord has asked them to do. Those that let them down. Those that take their eyes off the Lord and begin to sink. And yet God doesn't just simply let them go down through the waves and say, well, I've got others. God loves them with an everlasting love, and he goes after them. My friend, that's a reality for each one of us that are saved. Those times when we fall, those times when we feel, the Lord goes after us. The Lord longs for us to have that sweet communion and union and that fellowship with him. He follows after us. He longs to bring us even to himself once again. Only two things I want to leave with you this morning. In reality, it's just two questions which we will answer from these opening verses which we read today. The first question I want to ask and to answer this morning is, who is it that follows after Elijah? Who is it that follows after Elijah? In the verse 5, it tells us that as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, said unto him, arise and eat. And in the verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him, and said, arise and eat. You know, Elijah certainly had traveled far. Many miles had been journeyed before he came to this juniper tree. And as he is there, an individual comes to him to help him. An individual comes to him to strengthen him, to encourage him. But it wasn't simply another servant of the Lord. It wasn't simply Obadiah who's commissioned. The Lord doesn't send Obadiah into his pathway this time. He doesn't send one of the 7,000. Doesn't even bring Elisha before his time into his path. Isn't the case that another believer just happens to come that way in the providence of God and introduces himself and says, Elijah, I serve Jehovah, I serve the one true living God just like you. And can I highlight as well, it's not even an ordinary angel that comes to his aid. Yes, verse 5, it says an angel touched him, but the verse 7, it gives us that clearer, it gives us that fuller picture as to who it is that comes to Elijah's aid and comes to Elijah's side. Because the verse 7, it tells us it's the angel of the Lord. And he came the second time. So it's not an angel the first time and an angel of the Lord the second time. It's an angel of the Lord on both occasions. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament scriptures is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Any time that you read that reference, the angel of the Lord, in the Old Testament scriptures, it is an appearance of Jesus Christ before his incarnation. The theological term is either theophany or Christophany. Either one of them is suitable. Throughout the Old Testament, there are numerous occasions when Christ came to individuals. When Christ made an appearance even and was referred to as the angel of the Lord. The first of these occasions you'll find in Genesis 16 and the verse 7. It's speaking whenever the angel of the Lord came to Hagar. It tells us in Genesis 16 verse 7, but the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain. How do we know that the angel of the Lord was indeed Christ? How do we know that the angel of the Lord was indeed God? Because if you look at Genesis 16 verse 13, her own testimony. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, and she said, Thy God seest me. You know, other theophanies or Christophanies that are referred to and are found within the Old Testament scriptures, Christ appeared to Abraham. He appeared to Moses. He appeared to Joshua. He appeared to the parents of Samson. He appeared to Gideon. And even here at this lowest and this weakest point in the life of Elijah and his ministry and service for the Lord, it is the Lord Jesus himself who comes to him. It is the Lord Jesus himself who comes and cares and meets his very need at that particular moment. You know, we sing that hymn, Does Jesus Care? In verse 2 of it, it says, Does Jesus care when my way is dark, with a nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? And surely even from what we've seen this morning and what we consider and what is going on in the life of Elijah, with all of that dread and that fear and all of that darkness that was coming in around Elijah, and yet it is the Lord Jesus himself who draws near. It's not simply good enough to send an angel or an envoy or any other servant. It's Christ himself. And so to that question that is asked in that hymn, does he care enough to be near? Surely the answer is yes. And yes, 1,000 times yes. For he cares so much for his child that he comes and he draws alongside himself. My friend, that's the reality for each one of us that is saved. In our times of deepest despair, in our times of deepest heartache and deepest distress, it is Christ himself who comes. Christ himself who draws near. Remember, our Savior is the one who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Our Savior is the one who is in all points tempted like as we are. There isn't a hardship that you will face in your life. There isn't a trial or distress that you will come across in your existence and experience in life that Christ did not experience. The only difference is he never sinned. He never failed in any way. You know, Elijah had this death threat against him. We've already looked at the letter that was sent to him by Jezebel. She promised by within 24 hours she would kill him. Remember, Christ had numerous death threats. Our brother, Mr. Maxwell, in his deputation, as he spoke the other evening, he mentioned it. Even that time when Lazarus was dead, Christ's desire was he was going to go there at his own appointed time. And yet John 11 verse 8, what was the answer of the disciples to him? Master, the Jews of late have sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? They want to kill you, Master. Why would you go to them? Why would you go to their area? Death threats came against Christ. Christ was never put off. The enemy roared against him, but his answer was always in John 9 and 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Christ suffered threats. He suffered attacks. He suffered loneliness. For all men forsook him. He suffered mockery. He suffered ridicule. He was set at naught by Herod the king and by all of his servants in that palace place. He suffered greater violence than any man has ever suffered, for his visage was so much more marred. He suffered rejection. He suffered human exhaustion. He suffered hunger. He suffered thirst. He suffered all of the pains of this world that this world could offer. Surely there's no one greater to come to. Surely there's no one greater that could come to you. Surely there's no one greater than your time of need, whatever the sorrow, whatever the heartache, whatever the hardship is that you're facing. Surely there's no greater one that could come to your aid and come to your side. And surely there was no one greater who could come to Elijah. No, in every time, particularly those times of your greatest need, it is the Lord who comes himself. Just as he did to those two on the road to Emmaus. They're walking despondent, disheartened. Who was it that came and walked with them? It was Christ himself. Who was it that was on his feet? And Stephen saw that vision even as Stephen was being stoned and Stephen was being persecuted and put to death. He saw the heavens opened and is the Son of God standing, watching over him. Who was it that came to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? So we were put into that fiery furnace which had been heated 7 times hotter than ever before. And who was it that walked with them? Nebuchadnezzar himself got up off his throne and he said, "Did not we cast 3 men in? Behold, I see 4. The 4th is as unto the Son of God." My friend, whatever your distress, whatever your hardship, look to Christ. And look for Christ, because Christ will always draw near to his people. Those times of fear, yea, even those times when we let him down, Christ is the one who comes. I want to look with you now, secondly, at the second question I want to ask and answer this morning. Verse 5 to verse 8, how does Christ follow after Elijah? How does Christ follow after Elijah? It tells us in the verse 5 that he touched him. He commanded him to rise and to eat. And Elijah looked and there was a cake and there was a cruse of water. And then the second time again, arise and eat. The journey's too great for you. You know, some might read those verses and say, well, surely Elijah should have been rebuked. Surely the first thing God should have done, the Lord should have done whenever he came in that capacity, surely he should have rebuked him. He should have punished him. He should have dealt with his sin there and then. But always remember, as we've highlighted in times past, God always does and God always will punish sin. And God did deal with Elijah's sin in due course. As we read this morning, the question will be asked in 2 occasions, what doest thou here, Elijah? God will send that searching question into his heart. He will deal with him. He will show him exactly how he has failed and in what way he has failed and how he is to come back. But in the infinite grace and mercy of Almighty God, he firstly helps Elijah by caring for his physical and his mental needs. You know, the Lord is described in Scripture as the chief physician. And as the chief physician, Psalm 103 in the verse 14 teaches us, he knoweth our frame. The Lord knew Elijah's frame. He knew how weak he was. Psalm 103 in the verse 13 says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And so the Lord draws near to him. The first thing the Lord blesses him with is sleep. Sleep. You see, even sleep is a gift from God, which we ought to thank God for. Psalm 127, verse 2, it tells us, he giveth his beloved sleep. And just as he is the one who gives us that sleep when we put our heads upon the pillow, he is also the one who can withhold that sleep when it is his will to. Psalm 77, verse 4, thou holdest mine eyes waking. You know, sometimes sleep seems so easy. I've often heard people say, yep, when my head touches the pillow, I'm out. It's like just turning off that light. They just immediately fall asleep. For others, it can be the case that they toss, they turn. Sometimes even you'll hear the phrase people say, I'm too tired to sleep. Often we can say that about children. If they're up too late at night, then they just can't settle, they can't. And we just say, oh, they're past their sleep. But always remember, even bodily rest, that which we spend about a third of our entire lives doing, it is something that the Lord provides for us. And the Lord here, he provided, he cared for Elijah by giving him sleep. Doesn't tell us what he gave him, but by the time he rises and goes on for those 40 days, he has had enough sleep. He has been recuperated enough. Why? Because the Lord blessed him with it. Then it tells us that the Lord fed and watered him. Elijah's wakened out of his sleep and they're waiting for him. There is a cake baking on the coals. There is a cruse of water at his head. Remember, he is in the wilderness. And yet there were coals. There was a fire. There was bread. There was water, not just a little handful of water, but a whole cruse of water. Psalm 78, the verse 19, it asks the question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And surely the answer is yes. Because he does it here. You know, it's interesting, you think of Elijah's caterers in his life during his ministry. Started off with ravens, then it moved to a widow. Now it's the Son of God himself. The care that the Lord provides is perfect at every occasion. Bread and water was what he was given. It's what he received. Of course, child of God, spiritually speaking, bread and water is all that we need. We need the bread of life. We need the scriptures to meditate and to feed upon. In order to sustain us, in order to keep us, in order to strengthen us as we journey in this life, we need the bread of life. We need the scriptures. We need to be feeding from it. And of course, the water, speaking to us of the Holy Ghost. That indwelling and infilling. That spirit to lead us, to guide us, to instruct us. Tells us Elijah, he fed and he drank of that bread and water. And in the sleep it comes again, and then once again he is awakened. Arise and eat. The journey's too great for thee. See, one meal is never enough, is it? Let me say, just in passing, spiritually speaking, one meal in terms of one time in the scriptures is never enough for the whole journey. Whether it be for your entire lifetime, some people think the only time that they need to hear the word of God is when they're in church or watching a service. So if you don't need to feed upon the word of God in your private place alone on a daily basis. Some people believe, oh, it's enough just to be saved. And yet we are to have that fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit and look for it even on a daily basis, the water. Here's that word to Elijah. Elijah, again, rise and eat. The journey's too great for you. My friend, brethren, sisters, today, those that are saved, the journey of life is too great not to feed upon the Word of God and not to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit on a consistent and a continual basis. You know, Elijah there, he rose the second time, he fed, and he ate. You know, those two meals of bread and water were not just perfect, but that particular time were miraculous. So it tells us that bread and water he would survive on for the next 40 days and nights. That meal, those 2 meals that he had in between his sleeps, was what sustained him for those next 40 days and 40 nights until he arrived on Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. You know what we need? The Lord provides. Is any wonder the psalmist, that most wonderful, most famous psalms, known as the Shepherd's Psalm, he begins it by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Because as the chief shepherd, as the bishop of our souls, he makes us lie down in green pastures. In other words, he gives us the rest that our bodies need. He's the one who restores our souls. Those times when we become fearful, those times when we can be depressed, demoralized, distressed with what is going on, yet the chief shepherd brings us aside. He feeds us. He lays us down at the still waters. He restores our souls. He gives us that strength that we need. He did it for Elijah. Elijah received exactly what he needed to at that point. My friend, when the Lord comes to you, you will always receive exactly what you need. He's an amazing shepherd. My friend, I can't recommend him highly enough. You're listening today and you're not saved. I cannot recommend Christ enough to you. There is no one and there is nothing better than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He is the God of infinites. He's infinite in love. He's infinite in mercy and in grace. He's infinite in patience and long-suffering with his children. He's infinite in knowledge and wisdom. He's infinite in understanding as to what his sheep need. He's infinite in power and control over all of his creation, both in the heavens and in the earth. Now I finish with this verse from Philippians 4:19. Apostle Paul, writing to that church in Philippi, he simply said, "My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Do you notice that God didn't supply what Elijah wanted, but he supplied what Elijah needed? Elijah wanted to die. And God, being the God who knoweth our frame, said no. You don't need to die. What you need is rest. What you need is bread. What you need is water. And my friend, in every situation, whatever your needs are, look to the Lord. Turn to him first. Your spiritual need, he can satisfy. That internal need for peace, he is the Prince of Peace. That internal need for salvation, he is the Savior. Your bodily, your physical needs, he can meet every one of them. As I've said, he is the chief shepherd. He is the physician. He's the author. He's the finisher of your faith. So don't look to any other. But look to him. He knows your frame. He knows your mind. He knows your heart. Whatever need is upon you, whether it be a physical need for you or for your family, whether it be the spiritual need of your own soul, if you've drawn cold, Like Elijah, you've run from the face of God and you've run from his will. The Lord can meet your need and bring you back into that fellowship. Back into the family of God and back into that blessed union. That blessed communion and communication with him. We have a wonderful Savior. We're going to come back next week to look at even Elijah's time upon Mount Horeb with the Lord. And how the Lord did deal with him. How the Lord did even reinvigorate him and set him about the work once again. But my friend, as we finish this morning, as I've said, Christ is a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful friend. He's a wonderful shepherd. But I just want to simply finish by asking the question, is he your friend? Is he your Savior? Is he your shepherd? If he's not, then let me encourage you, let me invite you to come to him today. As I said, I can't highlight and I can't recommend him enough. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He is the lily of the valley. He's the bright, the morning star. And oh, if you come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And just as it says in the psalmist, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The happiness, the joy, the peace that God gives is the greatest peace of all. I want to thank you for joining us today. If I can be of any help at all to you, please do get in contact with us. Any spiritual need at all would be loving nothing better than to open the scriptures and to point you to the Savior. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank thee again, O God, for thy word. We thank thee for our Savior, the one who loved us and who gave himself for us. We thank thee, O God, that in our greatest times of need, yea, every day of our lives, whatever our need is, we can find our needs being met in and through Christ Jesus. We thank thee that thou art the God who supplieth all of our needs, according to thy riches and glory through Christ Jesus. O Father, write thy word upon every heart. Encourage thy people. Bring back the lost, backslider, those that are wandering far away. And Lord, save the lost. Save them, O God. Save them from themselves. Save them from the pit of hell. Hear our prayers this day. In Jesus' name. Amen.